Tommy Nelson continues his study on the Song of Solomon. This session is titled The Art of Intimacy, Part 2. And it's important to understand the context of this message, so at this time we suggest you stop the cassette and take a few moments to read chapter 4, verses 5 through 16.
Look at something else. I believe we beat that horse pretty well senseless. In verse 5, your breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. That is the greatest, most inspired bit of text as to how a man should see his wife. He has talked to her, and now he has undressed her. Her hair is down, her veil is off, and he has taken off the dress of his wife, and he looks at the bareness of that woman's body, and he says, your breasts are like twin fawns of a gazelle. That's perfect. How do you see the sexuality of your wife? How do you approach two fawns, twins of a gazelle? You come up like this. You don't go, hey, fawns, because they're taken up. First of all, marriage is romantic. Sex is romantic. Secondly, sex is gentle. Fellas, write it down. Sex is gentle. I'm going to give you guys some help right here that's going to save you more trouble because you're all inept. You just don't know you're inept. Number one, whenever you have sex with your wife, especially on your honeymoon, you move slow. One of the guys that taught me when I was in college said to me, he said, listen, and he was a pretty hardened kind of a guy that came to the Lord and married this little girl that had never been kissed. And he said he got the idea that in their honeymoon, he could now exercise every fantasy he ever had. And he come out of the bathroom like Conan, all right, and just kind of poured out all of his passion on her. And he said, I scarred her, and it took years of counseling to get her to where she needed to be and me where I needed to be. You move slow on your honeymoon night and anytime. Secondly, big one. There are parameters that you and your mate will share when you make love to your wife. A man's parameters of sexual enjoyment generally will be a lot more erotic than a woman's. How far can a man go? As far as your wife is not demeaned. If she has a problem with something, then you stop. And incidentally, you know what you're going to have to do? And I make couples do this before they get married. I make them talk. And they get to talking about, and the fellow will say, what about this? What about that? And it may surprise him. She'll go, whoa. Son. All right. Write it down. Because you're going to have to learn that. Also, in gentleness, fellows, you got to learn something. That your wife is a fluctuating type person. You think you can find the combination on her? See, a man is literally in sex. He's the constant. Just like insects, he is the driving constant force. It doesn't take a whole lot to please him. But the woman is going to differ. And a lot of guys will think they find the combination. Kiss here, stroke here, rub here. Bingo, great sex. What does a guy do? Kiss here, stroke here, here. All right. Memorizes it, eats it, swallows it. The next night, kiss here, stroke here, rub here. She says, hey, what are you sick, you pervert?
He's working back through that, you know.
She'll surprise you. You got to be gentle each night. There's going to be nights that you know that your wife is doing her duty to love you. There's going to be other nights you think she's been drinking. All right? Trust me. Here's a big one. This is going to save you more trouble. How are you going to have sex when you get married? How are you going to know if your wife's excited? Guys are always excited. How do you know your wife is going to be excited? Oh yeah, Don Meredith, the guy that speaks for Campus Crusade for Christ, couples conferences. One of the great statements on marriage, he looked at the women and he said, you know, you think that all that we guys think about is sex. Yeah? Yeah. And that's about the way a guy is. He's always ready. How are you going to know if your wife's ready? What do you do? I mean, do you come home and go, sex, 11 o'clock, 2100 hours. Do you do that? Or maybe you put out a flag before you come home? Or do you drop hints at dinner? Boy, it was a real exciting day today. How do you let your wife know that you want to have sex? Well, what you do is you got signals, and you pick up signals. A lot of couples have frustration over this because they don't know signals. When a bunch of guys get together, they can laugh, and all of them, they'll never talk about it to their wives, but they all know that they're signals, and you just got to learn your signals. For some guys, it's a certain kind of perfume. They may wear a certain cologne. One guy told me, he said, when I put on a certain bathrobe, my wife knows. Tell you what's a great one. The most often used signal for men is late at night. No woman, and a woman is very sensuous. When a man, when he hadn't shaved, when he smells, it hits a woman, all right? And so a guy, if you shave late at night, 10 o'clock, you shave. I use one in big old menthol jobs. Make a little noise. See? Just away. I was teaching this one time, one of the first times I taught Song of Solomon in a church. It's a precious church. I love these people. Way out in West Texas, a little town called Groover, Texas. And I was teaching this, and the couple in the front row cracked up laughing. And it's because the wife will always, she said she would always go to bed with this red terry cloth bathrobe that had been handed down by her mother and her mother before her, all right, that women sleep in. Until when she was excited, she would put on something kind of nice, something kind of slick, something kind of, you know, some negligee. And a lot of times the guy wouldn't know it. And she said that he'll kind of crawl into bed. And a lot of times you pat your mate before you go to bed. He said, good night, sweetheart. The best line I've ever heard, though, was a guy in our church. He said, you know what I do? Now, this is Denton, all right? You know what I do? I brush my teeth. I said, no, brother, you're giving a signal when you don't brush your teeth. Now, those are just all things in sex that you got to be sensitive to. For a guy to have good sex, you've got to be cautious and patient and tender. You approach your wife like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. And to a woman, to have good sex, you have to be considerate. And a lot of times, a woman is going to recognize her husband's need. Incidentally, fellas, let me give you a verse your wife can memorize, but you never quote. 1 Corinthians 7. A woman does not have authority over her own body, but the man does. All right? That is your wife's to memorize. That is not yours to quote. And whenever she desires you, and there'll be a lot of times your wife is an act of obedience, will follow through, but there'll be a lot of times she'll say, sweetie, I just really don't feel, and that is quite all right. All right, you just go right to bed. You can chew on the headpost if you'd like to, but you just go right to bed. Number three, 8:36. We're going to make it here. Watch this. Sex is exhilarating. Look at that in verse 6. Until the cool of the day when the shadows flee away. That's talking about morning time. All night long I will go to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. What's the mountain of myrrh, the hill of frankincense? See also the chapter before, the twin hills, the hills of Bether. It's talking about the breast of his wife. And this guy says, all night long I, the stag, am going on my wife in a joyous way until the morning rolls around. The Word of God. Isn't that great? How passionate is that? You let your imagination run because you're meant to. This is why Jewish boys were not to read this book until they were older and down the line, because it is exciting. Incidentally, you know that in England years ago, young girls were told during their honeymoons to lie there and think of the Queen. Meaning that you endure sex to have babies to fight for the empire. Isn't that terrible? It was an early Christian teaching that the original sin was sex. The original sin was sex. All night long, this stag is going to his twin mountains. You won't find that in a Navigator verse memory pack. All right? Verse 7. Something else, fellows, is that sex is scary. That's number four. Sex is frightening. Look how this fellow speaks to his wife. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no blemish in you. Girls, do you remember in chapter 1 what she said? Don't stare at me because I am swarthy. The sun has burned me. Fellas, let me tell the most painful thing you can do to your wife is on her honeymoon night or at any time when your wife disrobes and you look at her naked body, you say something disparaging and she will never forget it and you will hurt her so deeply. All women tend to be self-conscious about their bodies, and there are some things that they would change. I knew of a couple once that was married, had a number of kids, 3-4 kids, and had never seen each other naked. Now your question is, how? They would undress, keep the lights out, just get into bed, you know, and they would have sex. And that's a bad deal. No, this man lets her know. And fellas, you're going to marry girls that want to lose some weight, and when they have kids, they're going to get all stretched out. You're going to have some girls that wish this was different, wish that was different. You let her know from the top of your head, right down your body, you are the most lovely woman on the face of this earth. Ladies, do you think you would feel like giving yourself to a fellow that can take your teeth, your hair, your eyes, your cheeks, your neck, your breast, your body, and say, you are absolutely perfect? Of course you'd feel like giving yourself. This guy is a loving man. Incidentally, see also Ephesians 5, how Jesus sees us. He has washed us from every spot or wrinkle to present us holy and blameless before Him. There is no blemish in us. Verse 8, number 5, sex is the means of union and marriage. He says, come away from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Journey from the summit of Amana, from the summit of Seir, of Hermon, the den of lions, the mountains of leopards. He's calling her away, and the two are going to become one flesh. I'll tell you where my opinion is on this. Whenever I marry a couple and I say, I give you Mr. and Mrs. whatever, what God has joined together, let no man set asunder. Actually, that is not a completely correct statement. Because you are not one till you have sex. Paul went so far as to say that when you give yourself to a harlot, you're one body with her. When you have sex, you leave father and mother, you cleave, two become one flesh. That occurs at sex. You have a spiritual commitment, an emotional commitment, a financial commitment, a domestic commitment, and then you mesh your bodies. You mesh your emotions. You take your DNA. You wrap it around her DNA, you create a being in the image of God that looks like the both of you. That is oneness. And so marriage and sex is the means by which oneness occurs. And if I married a couple right here that walked out and they came back 2 months later and said, we have never consummated the union, we fought, we've got some problems, we've never come together, I personally would not consider that a marriage. I marry them in belief that they're going to consummate it. It's sex that brings that union. A minister pronounces you one in faith, that you will. In verse 9, sex is sensuous. You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You've made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes. That's sight. With a single glance of your necklace. Now watch verse 10. Smell. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, the fragrance of your oils than kinds of spices. He smells her. Verse 11. He touches her. Your lips, my bride, drip honey. Honey and milk are under your tongue. What kind of kiss is that? That is a French kiss. France did not become a country until the Treaty of Verdun in the 9th century A.D. This is 1000 B.C. It predates a French kiss by 19 centuries. No, this is a Hebrew kiss. Don't do this until you get married. A lot of people wonder, how far can you go? I'll give you a good, clear answer. Don't ask how far can you go when you're dating. You ask the question, how far can we keep away from it? How close can we walk to the edge of the canyon, Mommy? No, let's stay away from it and just look. But very specifically, you get into trouble when you are in a private place with prolonged kissing. Number one, kissing a person is meant to be frustrating. You are geared in kissing to go to intercourse. That's why God rigs it. When you start doing open mouth kissing, that is as sensuous a thing as you can possibly do. And so you stay out of those two things, and you'll keep yourself out of a lot of trouble. He keeps going. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Sex is sensuous. Now watch verse 12. Sex is holy. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. A rock garden locked, a spring sealed. A man's sexuality in the book of Proverbs is spoken of as a spring for very obvious reasons. Do not cast your springs into the street. That's what it's called for a man to go into a harlot, to take his sperm and to cast it into the dirt. The woman's sexuality, for obvious reasons, is called a well. A spring goes into a well. It's a classic picture. Fellows, do you notice what this fellow calls his wife prior to their sex act? He says she is a well of fresh water that is sealed. There is a spiritual hymen between this man and this woman. He will not touch her. Fellows, he has kept her a virgin. Sex is, or marriage is for virgins. Now be encouraged. I know I'm not talking to 4,000 virgins around here. All right, a lot of us have stumbled. The wonderful thing about the Word of God isn't just that it gives you a standard. There's a person who died for the violation of it and a Holy Spirit who can change your life to conform to it and a Bible that can illumine your way in it. That's the neat thing about the Bible. It doesn't just take somebody pinned under a weight and tell them they're dumb or tell them to push harder. It helps you change. And so you can be pure and clean from this day on. You may be a person that you're about to get married with somebody and you've been sleeping together for 6 months. I could show you more couples that have had incredible past that turned it around and lived pure from that time on, and God blessed them. They still had to work through some weeds out there, but God blessed them greatly. This man keeps her pure. In verse 13, the garden that they kept the little foxes out of has now come to fruition. It's in bloom. Sexuality has been groomed. And this is maximum sex, as Josh McDowell calls it. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, henna, nard and saffron, calamus, cinnamon, all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, aloes with the finest spices. The idea is, keep the little foxes for us, the foxes that are ruining our vineyard. They looked after them, and now this woman's body has come to maturity. Verse 15, the well is opened. Do you see it, fellas? Look at it. The well is now opened. Her sexuality is now given to him. You are a garden spring, a well of fresh water and streams flowing from Lebanon. I'm sorry, but I don't take any great metaphysical interpretation of that. I think the interpretation of that is as blatant as you can see. It is the sexuality and the anatomy of that woman. And she is open to this man. In verse 16, sex is responsive. Number 8. She says, now ladies, watch this. What's the phrase this man has said to her twice in the book? Ladies, have you caught it? Do not arouse or awaken love until it pleases. In verse 16, girls, what's the first word she says to her husband? Awake. North wind, strong. Come, wind of the south, gentle. And make my garden breathe. Listen, that's the most erotic verse in the Bible. This is a woman who has been cared for, loved, nurtured. On the honeymoon night, he talks to her. He looks at her naked body. He compliments her. He calls her to him. He looks at her. He kisses her. He excites her. And now she invites him into her sexuality. And this woman spreads herself for this man. And she gives herself to him. Good night. I bet there's more Jewish brothers had heart attacks right here. Boom.
clear. Poof. Song of Solomon.
Let its spices be wafted abroad. May my beloved come into whose garden? His garden. And eat whose choice fruits? Its choice fruits. I give my garden completely to you. Have at it, you studly guy. Oh, that's sex. Make a note, ladies. This woman is responsive. What is great sex to a man? One thing. Great sex to a man is responsiveness. No man likes to be like a little buzzing bee around the flower of his wife, trying to pollinate her with no response on her part. Now, a lot of guys would love to say that to their wives, but they've never been able to. There's nothing greater to a man than a responsive woman. This woman responds. Ladies, can I tell you something you're never going to hear again, so take good notes? What is excitement to a man? Four things. Number one, what he hears. You're kidding. It's what he hears. You remember that on your honeymoon night. No husband will ever say to his wife during sex, shh. Matter of fact, I had a little girl one time. I was getting ready to do her marriage. I walked in. I always shake the guy's hands, talk to him. You know, here we go. I'll go to the young girl sitting there, and I'll pray with her, you know, and talk with her. She's excited. And she looked up at me, and she was a girl in our church. It was like a daughter to me. She looked at me with these big eyes, and she said, Tommy, what do I do? I said, well. And I let her know. I said, whatever you feel, you tell him. It's the most exciting thing to a man. You tell him how you feel. And there's going to be a lot of education you have to do with your husband. So first, it's sound. You know what the second thing is? It's what he sees. It's exciting to a man what he sees. Ladies, invest after you get married. Remember this. Invest in negligees. Guys, there is a negligee that women are issued. And it comes from Moose Jaw, Alaska. They all have them. It's made out of seal. It's about that thick. Got these big holes in it, all right. And it was passed down from generations to generation. And it ain't the most exciting thing in the world. And a guy gets excited by what he sees. That's one of the great investments a woman can make, is a nightgown, something nice. A lot of women never know about that. Two great Christian institutions at shopping malls, Joshua's Books and Victoria's Secret. Trust me. Every man would love to go into Victoria's Secret and buy something, but he's too chicken. And so what we do is we buy gift certificates. You stand outside like a little high school guy buying liquor, you know. Done it myself. And then it's what a man feels. I told this little girl, I said, you got to remember, during sex, your husband is the stabilizing force. Everything on you is free. Your face, your hands, your feet, your knees, everything. A man is so alive during sex, everything that he feels is registers on the chart. Love him. Well, we better move on. Chapter 5, verse 1, sex is nourishing. I have come now. In chapter 5, verse 1, we're about finished here. Do y'all notice the verb tense change? Look close at the verse. We shifted, didn't we? Past perfect. I have come. It's done. He's lying on his back. He's got a cigarette. Man. That'll get some looks wanted on the video. All right. Question. I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride, my myrrh, my balsam, my honeycomb, my honey, my wine, my milk. Did you see what's mentioned 9 times? You're mine, 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 mine. And I am nourished on you. Guys, you know what's the most exciting thing in the world with your wife? It's to have a woman that you love, that you care for, that you're one with, that you romance, that you treat tender, and to where the highest thing you can give her is your body and she gives you yours. And after you love each other, to take this woman and just to hold her on the crook of your arm and to hold her close and to pray and to say, I thank thee, O God, for this woman. And for her to pray and just hold you close and say, Father, thank you for my husband who loves me so tenderly and so sweetly. It doesn't get any better than that. Sex is nourishing. And in your last two lines, sex is pleasing to God. This is the only line God speaks in the book. Eat, friends. Drink, imbibe deeply, O lovers. Meaning, it's my gift. Go for it. And enjoy it. This is not sex done under an alias in a motel or in a backseat or hiding it from your friends. This is open in the face of God, and God says, enjoy it. That's what sex is meant to be. Isn't that good? Now, like I said at the outset, however, there's a lot of you that have had struggles. The marvelous thing about the morality of the Bible is that it simply doesn't give a standard. There's a person who died for our violation of it. There is a word that guides us in our illumination to righteousness. There's a spirit we can yield ourselves. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this evening, could I say to you that the only people that can have sex and can have it right are holy men and godly women? That's when it's to be done as it should. We're running late. God bless you. We'll do some more next week. Doug, come up and send us home. Thank you.